This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Now, there have been tons of studies researching the ways the pandemic has changed our social interactions with one another, but our next guest co-created a study that looked at the different ways college students define their support systems in the height of COVID by simply examining their experiences of either being straight or queer. Joining us to break this down further is Nicole Watkins, a current program evaluator at Drexel University. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
So we know this study looked at multiple experiences here, but we really wanted to specifically speak about the LGBTQ angle, of course.
Yes.
But before we get into that, though, talk to us about why this study is important now.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all know that, you know, the COVID pandemic caused a lot of uprooting in a lot of people's lives. A big group of people who it really impacted were college students. And so my focus in my research is on emerging adults who are people around age 18 to 29, and they experience a lot of instability in their lives in general. It's also a time for people to, you know, figure out who they are, and oftentimes that's dealing with their sexual identity and kind of trying to understand that, and an age of exploration. So this was a really important time because our colleges, especially at the height of the pandemic in March 2020, of course, no one can forget that, but a lot of colleges, you know, kind of went into lockdown mode. People were kicked out of their dorms. They had to leave campus. And for a lot of people, that meant moving back home into their family households with maybe family members who didn't really support their sexuality, or maybe they didn't come out to their family yet. And so this meant that a lot of people may have been put into environments that they didn't feel necessarily comfortable. And so that was something that was really important for our study, to really understand how aspects of someone's identity and their sociodemographic characteristics influenced or was correlated with the support they received, and how they potentially made up for that support, lack of support that we perceived college students as losing when they had to leave their college campuses.
So I love when people study our community, because I think we know so little about LGBTQ people when we compare it to how much we know about straight people in their lives. Mm-hmm. So this is so fascinating to me. And I wonder, did you gather anything about how specifically what they used social media for? And, you know, like, I imagine that the needs they needed to fill changed. But, you know, I was in college way too long ago to know how I would use social media if I needed it. So what did you learn about what they were using social media and that connectivity for?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I'll back up with the other finding first, was that gay and lesbian, and also people who identified as bisexual, had perceived less family support than those who were heterosexual. And I think the finding that you were specifically talking about was that gay, lesbian, emerging adults used electronic communication more than heterosexual emerging adults for emotional needs. Now, I can kind of specifically tell you what those needs were, what those questions were. So for emotional motives, it was that they were trying to get support when they were upset about COVID, trying to feel less lonely, to feel better when I'm upset about the COVID pandemic. And so really it's seeking that emotional support that they may not have been getting at, you know, in their own environment that they were then pushed out into from college. So it wasn't necessarily through social media. It was encompassing any sort of electronic communication. Hmm. So we kind of assumed that for a lot of people that meant social media, but it could have been
like virtual meetings with your therapist.
Yeah.
Or,
Wow, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I also wonder, you know, intersectionality is such a huge part of these experiences, especially with how we respond to our experiences with dealing with this pandemic. How are you further working to include that in your future research?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I'm so excited because this really, this gave us a little snapshot of, you know, people who identified with different characteristics, who were maybe identified with minority groups. But it's really looking at heterosexual versus queer, or black versus white, or Hispanic versus white. And I really wanted to continue that with looking at the intersectionality, which means that people who have overlapping identities, those overlapping identities could impact someone differently. So someone who is black and queer could have different experiences and perceive support differently than someone who is white and queer, for example. So one thing that we, my colleague and I, Professor Dubar, are doing is following a group of students who are part of the class of 2020. So they were freshmen coming in that fall of 2020. And we've been following them after every single semester. And one of the things they had to be part of the study was to identify with at least one minority group. And so we had a lot of people, we have approximately 30 some students, and they had about 20 of them identified with at least two or more identities. Wow. And a lot of them identified as queer. And so what we hope to do in the future is really look at their stories, because that's going to be important. How did a student who was first gen as well as queer, or black and queer, how did they experience that transition to and through college?
So, and I know
that is to come.
Oh, sorry to cut you off. I'm wondering, this is fascinating. And I see in your study, as I was reading it, I saw that you broke queer down into, you know, homosexual versus bisexual and things like that. And there was an other category. So did you explicitly tease out, you know, folks who identify as trans or non-binary? And if not, do you plan to do that in your next round?
Yeah, so the sample that we got, we didn't have any non-binary, but we did have some transgender, which we do have a separate gender variable, and it was recategorized as female or male. And we put, so people who identified as transgender female were lumped with female, and then transgender male were included in the male category. So the other thing with the sexual orientation, we did look at gay, lesbian, and bisexual, and then the other category included people who identified as pansexual, asexual. Unfortunately, that group was so small, like each individual group, that we couldn't do much with them separately. And that's really the unfortunate thing about, you know, getting a large sample, is that you still don't have enough information to get a good sample of some of these groups, which is really important to look at.
Yeah, well, Nicole, thank you so much. This was so interesting and really interesting to break down. So thank you for the work that you're doing, and we hope to have you back when you add on more and you dive in more. So thank you so much for being here. That was Nicole Walkins, program evaluator at Drexel University.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.